morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, Bill, welcome back.
Thank you.
Last week you were away at a Rose Committee, I understand.
Yes.
And that means that there will soon be some pretty big Master Gardener-related activities when it comes down to roses.
Well, this is the time of the year that we spend a lot of time on the Rose Garden in the Memorial Park area, 1702 Copia Street. And we'll be doing some major pruning come the first Monday in January. And then we have the rose sale coming up, which I think Denise is going to talk about a little bit more.
And as far as pruning goes, I know you guys also plan pruning workshops for the public, too. So I'm assuming those are part of the plans that are going to be coming up here real soon.
That is correct. We'll have one, in February.
In late February.
In February, right. And we invite the public. And the last couple of years, they've been very successful because we've had great weather. It can be cold that time of the year, but we usually have it on a weekend, and we've had great turnouts the last couple of years. So we'll make everybody aware of the exact times and dates for that.
Right. And the Master Gardeners really do start out early as far as rose pruning in the garden, only because there's so many rose bushes out at the garden itself. But for homeowners, I think the best time for them to start is about mid-February.
I think so.
Would be a great time for homeowners to be able to start pruning back their roses. And I think that those demonstration points are really great because Master Gardeners take the public out to different locations in the garden, and they actually let them show them how to do the pruning techniques and then let them make a couple of cuts.
Hands-on, yeah.
To do some.
Right.
Some
and there's so many different varieties out there, and pruning on each different variety is a little bit different. So it gives somebody a chance. If they have a large shrub rose, we prune that slightly differently than you would a climbing rose or a miniature rose or some of the ones that are closer to the ground. So it gives somebody a chance to look at the different varieties and how we prune them.
Righty. So keep it tuned here to Get to Grow, and we'll let you know when those dates come up as soon as we know. And let's talk a little bit about the rose sale. This sale happens every year, and the proceeds benefit the Master Gardeners, and you guys have a really great extensive list. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure, definitely our rose sale each year. We try to promote roses that do really well in our area. One of those types of roses are the earth kind roses that do have the Texas A&M seal that have been tested and proved to be disease resistant and really good for our area with a lot of less inputs as far as your traditional roses. And as far as the rose sale, yes, we do try to have a comprehensive list to choose from not just the size of the mature rose bush, but also colors and fragrances and things of that nature that are really qualities that people look out for.
It's a pretty extensive list, and we're culling it down now because I think we offered too many choices in the past. But the majority of purchases are from maybe 20, 30, 40 different rose bushes, and because we know they do well in our area.
Right, exactly. And the number one popular rose is always the knockout. And that is an earth kind rose, and that one is just constantly blooms throughout the year with a nice, to me it's almost like a cherry red bloom is how I would describe it.
You've got double knockouts now, and you've got pink knockouts, and isn't there a multicolor knockout, or there's something else? There's another one I think I saw.
Yeah, they keep on extending that right. Line of knockout roses as well, and it's just about what your preference is, and if really, even a beginning or experienced gardener would find a really good rose for their garden on that list.
I think that's a good starter rose for people because they are relatively disease resistant, and they bloom as long as you keep them fed and watered. They do well most of the summer.
And we'll have those order forms available for you. We'll have a link on our website on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org as soon as those become available. And again, the proceeds from the sale will help to further the educational efforts of the Master Gardener. So that's going to be really important here in our community as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about cold weather. As we experienced earlier this week, we had some really cold mornings dropping down to around 20 degrees or so, depending on where you lived around town. And I know that you guys have already been getting calls about, well, what do I do to protect my plants? It's going to be so cold.
Right, exactly. It's much easier to protect a plant if it's in a container because it's mobile. And you can actually move it underneath your patio or even inside your garage, depending on how cold the temperatures dip down. But the most important thing is really to make sure that your containers, if you're looking at that, are well watered, because plants that are not watered stress actually react better to the stresses of the cold temperatures as well. So make sure that you give them a nice drench of water before you cover them up and protect them from the elements.
I think that's very important. People don't think about the plants needing water, but it is, I think, from that hard freeze that we had 2 years ago, I think we all learned that those extreme temperatures, it helped. It seemed to make the difference a lot of times in all kinds of weather. They're in pots or all your trees and bushes and everything. So if we expect extreme temperatures, be sure then water the plants in the ground also.
It also depends on what the forecast looks like. If you know, you're just having a dip down of weather, you don't have to look for something very permanent cover. You want to make sure that you're able to remove that in case the weather does warm up, because the last thing you want to do is on a clear, bright day to be able to start, you know, cooking your plants. that can be just as detrimental as having it, you know, having freeze damage.
Right. I remember I covered my geraniums night before last. Then I looked at them the next morning, and they looked like they were greatly affected. So it was negatively affected, even though they were covered. So it's not a guarantee that the plants are going to live.
Right. So covering plants, I think that's an important topic to focus on right now. And a lot of people might be wondering what to use to cover their plants. So what would be the smartest thing?
Well, from my experience, you just want to keep a towel, a sheet. But you don't want to put plastic that comes in contact with the leaves themselves. So you might have to build a little bit of a buffer that keeps the cover off the plant itself, keep it from touching the leaves.
Right, exactly. And I like to use the tomato cages that I use during the summertime, and that really acts as a shell, if you will,
right,
that you can place over the plant or the container, and then that way you can lay your sheet or towel on top of that. You don't want to also crush the plant
right
with a very heavy blanket.
Right,
as well.
And that's where with a light sheet makes a difference. You're keeping the frost off of it. We were talking earlier how the temperatures can vary around a house and undercover and all that. We'll have to do a little bit more research to find out exactly how it affects the plants. I've always wondered if plants were affected by wind chill.
Well, wind chill will affect the plant as well, because you have that constant air movement mm-hmm. on the surface of the leaves as well. So just as you don't want to throw in your newly purchased plants in the back of your pickup and drive down the interstate, that's the same effect that you're getting when you have a windy night like we had earlier this week as well. So, yes, wind does affect that. In a combination with low temperatures, then, of course, that's a bad recipe for plants.
Absolutely. Good.
And also probably if you still had leaves on your trees, you probably don't anymore after those cold temperatures. So I think a lot of yard work may be in many people's futures, if not just use some of those leaves and use them as a kind of protective layer. That's sort of what we did. We sort of took the leaves off of the lawn and we sort of pushed them onto, you know, some of the shrubs and some of the other perennials that we have growing in our yard, and just sort of as a protective layer.
Well, and the winds, right. I think the winds move those leaves around enough. They put them under the bushes, and mm-hmm. it's really kind of a natural.
Yeah, we didn't have to do a whole lot of work.
No, exactly. They just seem to blow the leaves where you want them. I've experienced that also.
What we also want to point out, and Denise was pointing this out before the show started taping, is that cold, as much as a lot of us may whine and complain about it, it's actually maybe not good for us as humans, but it's good for our plants.
It's not good for us as El Pasoans because we're not used to the cold
That's
weather.
Right.
And we're very fortunate.
We're wimps.
Yeah, I will confess. It's no secret, actually.
Exactly. But we really benefit from cold winter temperatures. It really keeps the pest and disease populations down. If we do experience a very mild winter, then those kind of pest outbreaks are going to happen sooner and earlier. So it is good when it's cold.
Well, in 20 degrees will kill off most insects. So that we get a couple of nights like that, then we'll benefit in the coming spring, right?
And we've seen how cold is good for bulbs, for example. I mean, that's why we put tulips and hyacinths in the refrigerator, so that they can eventually produce flowers because they're getting that extra cold that isn't necessarily provided here in our climate. And, I mean, we saw when we had that freeze from February a couple of years ago that the roses just bloomed like mad shortly afterwards because the cold actually did provide them some benefit. So in a way, it is good for the plants in the long term.
There are a lot of benefits in getting cold. When you're walking out and you're outside in the wintertime, it's a little bit of a drawback. But the plants really do benefit, and it doesn't hurt them at all to get down to these temperatures, the plants that are native or adapted to our area.
Right. Of course, your tropical plants and your patio plants, then you know those guys are going to be the first ones to go. So you make sure that you want to plan accordingly. And if you want to keep those lush plants in your patio, make sure that they're in containers. That way you can move them out of the way. And really, when you're looking into planting into your landscape, really pick out those well-adapted plants to our area.
I see a lot of hibiscus around these days, and they need some special attention this time of the year.
And I don't know, I would recommend, especially if you're going to have a large patio plant, try to buy one of those little round bases with the wheels on it. Because that's going to make life so much easier when you're moving those plants back and forth or inside your home. Because I know that sometimes you have a nice large container with a really great plant, say an agave, in there, and it's too big for you to carry, or you're going to end up breaking the pot that it's in, and then you're going to end up losing that plant because you can't move it. But if there's a way for you to easily manipulate it across your patio or even get it into your home by using a little handmade ramp inside your home, then that might be the best thing for you to do. I think plan ahead.
This time of the year, it takes pre-planning. You have to have a place for them. You have to be able to move them physically, whether you're using a dolly or a little platform with wheels on them. There are a number of ways, but you do need to plan ahead. And unfortunately, if you haven't taken steps until now, it's probably a little bit late, but it can't hurt to protect them even now.
Temperature-wise, obviously, it's cold, and we always say that fall is the best time for planting. Well, we're already at the end of fall, and already we've taken, temperature-wise, a step into winter. I take it it's already kind of too late to put anything in the ground right now?
Yeah, right now what you really want to do is start planning for pruning, if you are going to prune your trees this year. But really look at your plan. Now that your trees are defoliated, you'll be able to see any cross branches and really start looking to see what you want to get removed out of your trees.
Well, we're out of time, but I do want to let people know that maybe about a month or so ago, we actually recorded a show that's all about preparing for the cold weather. And you can actually find an archive of that program at ktep.org. Just find the Good to Grow page, and you'll also find an archive of this program there, as well as other gardening tips. Again, just go to ktep.org and to the Good to Grow page. And for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be re-airing an interview that I did a couple of years ago with Oscar Mestis, our Texas urban forester, and he's going to provide for us some really helpful information on pruning and on how to care for your trees in general. And that's going to be a two-part show, and we're going to start with that next week. And I hope you'll be listening then, and thank you for listening now. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.